Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is January 13, 2021. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments in fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about BitGo taps former Coinbase exec Jeff Horowitz as chief compliance officer. Goldman Sachs exec says more institutional investment would calm Bitcoin volatility. Crosstower launches capital markets desk to bring institutions to its spot exchange. Winklevoss Gemini backs new Bitcoin ETF application in Canada. Analysts are gloomy about Bitcoin's short-term price outlook right now. First mover, don't like $34,000 Bitcoin. Stellar, Litecoin yet to conquer old highs. Ledger adds Bitcoin bounty and new data security after hack. Now let's get started. BitGo taps former Coinbase exec Jeff Horowitz as chief compliance officer. Cryptocurrency custodian BitGo has hired Coinbase's former chief compliance officer to lead its compliance and anti-money laundering (AML) programs. Jeff Horowitz led Coinbase's global compliance program before leaving in October. Prior to Coinbase, he spent 12 years with Pershing, a clearinghouse owned by BNY Mellon. Horowitz was also co-chair of the Securities Industry and Financial Markets Association's AML committee. He began his career as a regulator with the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC. The hire comes as banks across the U.S. have received more regulatory clarity through several letters issued by the U.S. Office of the Comptroller of the Currency giving them the green light to custody crypto and conduct payments and other activities with stablecoins. Banks and institutional investors are looking for a regulated and independent custody solution provider to safely store their crypto, Horowitz told CoinDesk in an email. Bankers want to know that a crypto custodian is meeting the same standards of security and compliance that banks and trust companies are subject to today. Late last month, the U.S. Treasury Department announced that BitGo had agreed to pay $93,830 to settle 183 apparent violations of multiple sanctions programs. Goldman Sachs exec says more institutional investment would calm Bitcoin volatility. An executive at multinational investment bank Goldman Sachs believes an increase in participation from institutional investors is key to stabilizing nascent markets such as cryptocurrencies. Speaking on CNBC's The Coin Rush on Tuesday, Goldman Sachs global head of commodities research, Jeff Currie, said the cryptocurrency market is becoming more mature but still has a way to go. Right now there are institutional investors small about $700 billion of money in Bitcoin right now. Of that, roughly 1% of it is institutional money, said Currie. Currie, who is the global head of commodities and research, also said Bitcoin is a defensive asset similar to gold. He noted gold's $3 trillion market, saying some of that money could be allocated to cryptocurrency. Right now all of the cryptocurrencies have about $1 trillion, let's say it grows to $2 trillion, then you just do the simple math how many coins are out there divided by that and you can end up with a fair value. That valuation assessment could help provide a long-term equilibrium, but the in and outflows of money in Bitcoin create a lot of volatility and a lot of uncertainty that make it difficult to forecast, Currie said. Crosstower launches capital markets desk to bring institutions to its spot exchange. Ultimately, we end up with something that looks and feels a little bit like what you see in the prime brokerage space. Crypto trading platform Crosstower is launching a capital markets desk for institutional clients. Leading the desk is securities industry veteran Greg Bunn, who's being hired as Crosstower's chief strategy officer. Previously, Bunn served as global head of counterparty strategy at foreign exchange giant Citadel, and he also worked in senior roles at Deutsche Bank for more than 16 years. Expanding from its spot exchange and over-the-counter OTC trading desk, CrossTower now offers digital asset lending, trade financing, structured products and trade execution across multiple venues. Ultimately, we end up with something that looks and feels a little bit like what you see in the prime brokerage space, Bun said. You can't centralize the market because it's by definition decentralized, but you will at least have more connected infrastructure that makes the market more efficient. Prime brokers are facilitators for financing and trading for deep-pocketed institutional investors. Several crypto firms including BitQuant, Coinbase, BitGo and Genesis Trading have announced in recent months their plans to build out their prime brokerage arms. I would say the biggest fund that we have on board is around $500 million assets under management, Bun said. What we've done is to meet the standards of an industrial-grade regulated securities exchange. While CrossTower is not targeting retail users with the capital markets desk, it is in discussions with retail intermediaries like wallet aggregators about becoming an exclusive partner for trade execution and financing, Bun said. Winklevoss Gemini backs new Bitcoin ETF application in Canada. A prospectus for a new Bitcoin exchange-traded fund ETF has been filed with the Ontario Securities Commission in Canada. ARX Novum Investments Inc. filed documents for the ARX Novum Bitcoin ETF on Monday. The ETF is planned to be listed on the Toronto Stock Exchange TSX under the ticker BIT.U. The manager behind the ETF application is Sean Cumby, CEO of ARX Novum Investments. Previously, Cumby held the position of CIO at 3iQ Corp, the Canada-based digital asset manager behind the launch of the Bitcoin fund TSX, QBTC. You called the world's first regulated Bitcoin BTC, -0.44% fund. The New York-based, Winklevoss-owned Gemini Trust Company will be the sub-custodian of the Bitcoin held by the ETF. The sub-custodian is a trusted company qualified to custody the product's assets held outside of Canada. According to the prospectus, the proposed Bitcoin ETF will provide investors with exposure to Bitcoin and daily price movements of the US dollar price of Bitcoin by investing in Bitcoin and/or Bitcoin futures contracts, and/or other derivative instruments that provide economic exposure to Bitcoin. It may trade in Bitcoin futures listed on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange and other commodity futures exchanges regulated by the US Commodity Futures and Trading Commission. The ARX Novum Bitcoin ETF may also hold cash, cash equivalents and/or other fixed income securities. The prospectus says an investment in the Bitcoin ETF is considered high risk and if conditionally approved, there is no assurance that the TSX will approve the listing application. A Bitcoin ETF has been eagerly anticipated as a sign of institutional acceptance for Bitcoin, but in the US all ETF applications to date have been turned down by the US Securities and Exchange Commission. A number of similar products, such as exchange-traded products (ETPs), have been launched in Europe. Analysts are gloomy about Bitcoin's short-term price outlook right now. The near-term outlook for Bitcoin has dimmed, analysts say, with some now seeing a possible extension of Monday's major price drop. There could be another dump as outflows from the cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase Pro have dried alongside an increased transfer of coins onto exchanges, David Lifchitz, chief investment officer for Paris-based quantitative trading firm Exo Alpha, told CoinDesk. Bitcoin fell by over 20% on Monday to $30,305 amid heavy selling in the spot market. Outflows from Coinbase Pro, which are considered synonymous with institutional purchases, have receded sharply from the three-year high of 55,000 BTC, plus 0.79%, observed on January 2. The Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, GBTC, the biggest publicly traded crypto investment trust, hasn't seen inflows since Christmas because it was temporarily closed, as noted by analyst Joseph Young. Grayscale is owned by Digital Currency Group, the parent company of CoinDesk. That means demand-side pressures, which played a pivotal role in pushing Bitcoin from $10,000 to $41,000 over the past 3 months, had weakened. The trust reopened Tuesday. Meanwhile, exchange deposits have picked up the pace, a sign that some investors may be looking to liquidate holdings and take profits. the number of coins held on exchanges increased by over 57,000 BTC on Tuesday, the biggest single-day change since the market's crash on March 12, 2020, according to data from blockchain analytics firm Chainalysis. Exchanges have registered an average inflow of 103,000 BTC per day in the past 7 days, higher than the 180-day average of 83,700 BTC. At a minimum, increased inflows suggest that the type of buyers who self-custody, typically the larger investors, are not buying as much at the moment, Chainalysis economist Philip Gradwell told CoinDesk. These coins could be held on exchanges to flip if prices rise rather than to sell immediately, but that will put a lid on gains, if any, or even cause a fresh downturn. Technical charts are also calling for an extension of Monday's drop. With Bitcoin trading below the Ichimoku cloud, I still see pressure on the downside in the short term, said Patrick Huser, head of trading at Swiss firm Crypto Finance AG. The Ichimoku cloud, a technical tool created by Japanese journalist Goichi Hosoda in the late 1960s, includes multiple lines that help identify support and resistance levels and other essential information such as trend direction and momentum, as shown below. When an asset trades below the cloud red line, the trend is said to be bearish, as is the case with Bitcoin at press time. Huser said that $29,000 is the make-or-break level. Things could get ugly if that support is breached, and $36,000 is the level to beat for the bulls. Chris Thomas, head of digital assets at Swiss Quote Bank, foresees consolidation in the $33,000-$36,000 range for the rest of the week. The consolidation could end with a bullish move if institutional demand returns. We could have a fair amount of fresh buying activity coming over the next few weeks, Thomas said, highlighting the reopening of Grayscale Investments' cryptocurrency products to new investors. While the cryptocurrency may suffer deeper declines in the short term, the broader bias remains bullish. Recent institutional investors have long horizons and will absorb near-term price shocks, while retail investors would buy at discounted price levels for fear of missing out, Jahan Chu, managing partner at Hong Kong-based Kinetic Capital, said. Expect temporary volatility and then a jump back to the $40,000 level, followed by $50,000 as the Bitcoin percentage land grab continues. Bitcoin is trading near $34,210 at press time, representing a 4% drop on a 24-hour basis. First mover, don't like $34,000 Bitcoin. Stellar, Litecoin yet to conquer old highs. Though Bitcoin's rally has lost some steam, many traders are still in a bullish mood and shifting to alternative cryptocurrencies known as altcoins whose prices have yet to clear all-time highs from years past. Bitcoin snapped a four-day losing streak, appearing to stabilize around $34,000. After the recent market correction, prices for the cryptocurrency are still up 18% year-to-date, versus a 1.2% gain for the Standard & Poor's 500 index of large U.S. stocks. Now is probably not the time to panic, Matt Blom, head of sales and trading at the cryptocurrency exchange firm Diginex, wrote in a daily newsletter. In traditional markets, European shares fluctuated and U.S. stock futures were little changed as the U.S. House of Representatives on Wednesday prepared to vote on a second impeachment of President Donald Trump. Gold strengthened 0.1% to $1,855 an ounce. Market moves as Bitcoin, BTC, minus 0.37%, and Ether, ETH, minus 2.38% retreat from recent highs. The strong performance of other cryptocurrencies shows that traders and investors may now be turning to alternative tokens, often referred to as altcoins, for returns. Bitcoin prices as of January 11 stood at about 87% of their all-time high reached last week, and Ether is about 78% of the way toward its all-time high from a few years ago, based on data compiled by CoinDesk Research. But other cryptocurrencies and digital assets, such as Stellar XLM, minus 2.51%, XLM, and Litecoin LTC, minus 2.01%, LTC, are still far from setting new records. One takeaway might be that they might have further to run, CoinDesk's Muyao Shen reported Tuesday. Altcoins are surging in ways that we have not really seen since 2017, Andrew Tu, an executive at Quant firm Efficient Frontier, told Shen. It's possible, of course, that some entry-level investors viewing Bitcoin's $34,000-ish price what a small sport utility vehicle costs are unaware that the largest cryptocurrency can be bought in minute fractions, similar to the way that it's possible to buy $100 or $1,000 of gold. Such confusion in the past has led some newbie investors to turn to altcoins, because their prices are often comparatively lower, sometimes counted in cents. David Durhi, an analyst at the trading platform eToro, wrote earlier this week that some traders might shift toward Ether, the base cryptocurrency for the Ethereum blockchain. Investors in Bitcoin may be looking to take some profits and reallocate, and Ether could be a target, he wrote. A target of $2,500 is reasonable given the gains we have already seen and current price momentum. Such a level would represent a gain of nearly 150% from the current price. Simplex, a digital asset platform, has been seeing increasing demand for cryptos across the board, though retail investors seem to be looking for the next BTC, CEO Nimrod Lahavi, wrote in a Google Doc, sent by a spokesman via Zoom's chat function. We are used to seeing BTC dominate around 90% of the total volumes of trade, says Jonathan Leung, CEO of BTSE, another crypto platform. But the recent week or so has seen a rise in our institutional clientele's demand and interest in altcoins, with the balance being almost 50-50 at certain times. Bitpanda, an Austrian cryptocurrency platform, has seen Bitcoin drop to between 30% and 40% of customer purchases this year, from 40% to 50% last year, according to a spokeswoman. We have a big influx of users, and they are trading both Bitcoin and altcoins, the spokeswoman, Sarah Morick, said in an email. The near-term outlook for Bitcoin has dimmed, analysts say, with some now seeing a possible extension of Monday's major price drop. There could be another dump as outflows from the cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase Pro have dried up alongside an increased transfer of coins onto exchanges, David Lifchitz, chief investment officer for Paris-based quantitative trading firm Exo Alpha, told CoinDesk. Outflows from Coinbase Pro considered a proxy for purchases of the cryptocurrency by big institutional investors, since the outflows are typically seen as transfers into cold storage for long-term holding have receded sharply from the three-year high of 55,000 BTC observed January 2. The decrease could signal a weakening in institutional demand, which played a pivotal role in pushing Bitcoin last week to a new all-time high above $41,000, from about $10,000 just a few months ago. Meanwhile, exchange deposits have gathered pace, a sign that some investors may be looking to liquidate holdings and take profits. The number of coins held on exchanges increased by over 57,000 BTC on Tuesday, the biggest single-day change since March 2020, according to data from blockchain analytics firm Chainalysis. Exchanges have registered an average inflow of 103,000 BTC per day in the past 7 days, higher than the 180-day average of 83,700 BTC. Some analysts looking for clues in price chart patterns are also calling for an extension of Monday's drop. The Ichimoku Cloud, a technical analysis tool created by Japanese journalist Goichi Hosoda in the late 1960s, includes multiple lines that help identify support and resistance levels and other essential information such as trend direction and momentum. I still see pressure on the downside in the short term, said Patrick Huser, head of trading at Swiss firm Crypto Finance AG, adding that $29,000 could be the make or break level. Things could get ugly if that support is breached, Huser said. A price of $36,000 is the level to beat for the bulls. Chris Thomas, head of digital assets at Swiss Quote Bank, sees a period of price consolidation over the rest of this week, in the $33,000-$36,000 range. Ledger adds Bitcoin bounty and new data security after hack. Matt Johnson, Ledger's new Chief Information Security Officer, CISO, had no choice but to hit the ground not just running but, well, sprinting. His first week of work entailed scrutinizing the fallout from an extensive data dump of customer information, among other areas such as data security and increased attacks that would come as a byproduct of Bitcoin pumping. In the aftermath of the largest hack in company history, and a little over a week after Johnson started, the hardware wallet company Ledger has announced its first measures to address the data breach and ensure such a hack doesn't happen again. These include working with blockchain analytics firm Chainalysis to hunt the hackers, offering a 10 BTC minus 0.67% bounty for information leading to the hacker's arrest, and creating a comprehensive review of what information the company holds onto, where it's stored, and how long it's retained. The Ledger hack. Ledger publicly revealed that customer information had been compromised in July 2020. At the time, the company estimated 9,500 customers had been affected by the hack. In the following months, CoinDesk documented a string of convincing phishing attempts executed by the hackers, including emails that mimicked official Ledger correspondence and text messages. Then, in December 2020, a data dump exposed 1 million email addresses and 272,000 names, mailing addresses and phone numbers belonging to people who had ordered Ledger's devices, which store the private keys for cryptocurrency wallets, as CoinDesk reported. The number of people affected was much higher than the original estimate of 9,500. A rash of SIM swaps were reported in the days following the data dump, and some customers started getting extortion emails, including threats of violence. Now, Ledger has released new information about the hack, revealing that it was likely due, in part, to rogue actors at Shopify, its e-commerce partner at the time. Shopify's rogue agents. On December 23, 2020, Ledger was notified by Shopify of an incident involving merchant data in which a rogue members of their support team obtained customer transactional records, including Ledger's. The agents illegally exported customer transactional records in April and June 2020, according to a blog post. Shopify told Ledger the data breach was part of its disclosure in September 2020, which involved over 200 merchants. Until December 21, 2020, though, Shopify had not discovered that Ledger was also targeted in this attack. Shopify told Ledger it is continuing to investigate and that the issue had been reported to law enforcement. In an interview last December, Ledger CEO Pascal Gaudier told CoinDesk the initial hack was, in part, a result of the company scaling so quickly, and that he and incoming CISO Matt Johnson would be announcing a new data policy and plan to further address the leaks in January. Today, Ledger announced its plans for the future. Ledger's data security after the hack. First and foremost, in a blog post, Ledger reiterated the company will never ask customers for their 24 recovery words, which can be used to access Bitcoin and crypto wallets. They also stressed that as long as customers had not shared these words, their Ledger hardware devices were secure. We are announcing changes in the way Ledger will collect and handle customer data, keeping personal data for as short a time as legally possible, minimizing the display of personal data in emails, moving needed data in a further segregated environment as soon as possible, and creating a secure channel for communicating one-to-one with our customers via Ledger Live, the authors, including new CISO Matt Johnson, wrote. First, Ledger is changing the way it stores data. In an interview, Johnson said that while he would prefer not to have to hold user data at all, the company is legally obligated to do so for a period of time. But Ledger is looking to go beyond what privacy is required by the European Union's General Protection Data Regulation, according to Johnson. By going beyond the GDPR, what we mean is not holding data longer than GDPR requires, but quite the opposite, said Johnson. Our goal is to delete data such as name, address, and phone number as soon as possible, even if we would be allowed to keep them under the GDPR. Some data, however, we will need to keep to fulfill our legal obligations such as accounting or tax requirements, and this data will be further segregated to limit its access. Delete, delete, delete. Moving forward, Ledger will delete data from its e-commerce partner as well as move customer data to a database that can't be accessed from the internet as soon as your order is fulfilled, before deleting it as soon as they're legally able. The company will also be deleting names, addresses, and phone numbers from confirmation emails sent to customers so that this data is not passed through third-party e-commerce email providers. The email and social media will only be used for marketing messages and announcements. Ledger Live accounts are being set up to communicate technical and security information, seemingly to avoid instances of previous phishing scams, in which scammers encouraged Ledger users to download important security updates via genuine-looking emails. Finally, Johnson will be doing a comprehensive review of third parties handling the data. I will be going through and doing an examination of every single one of our third parties that we have to share or have the transmission of the data with as part of the supply chain, said Johnson in a Zoom call. We'll be going through and looking at making sure that all of their processes are appropriate and rigorous, because if we're entrusting our data to them, we need to be 100% sure that they are actually operating to the best of their capability to meet all of those minimal requirements, and preferably push them to go beyond that. A Bitcoin bounty and law enforcement. Ledger is working with various law enforcement agencies as well as the blockchain analytics firm Chainalysis. It has even set up a Bitcoin bounty for information related to those responsible for the hack. We're running down leads so we can actually be able to recover, if that's at all possible, stolen funds if it's landing on exchanges, said Johnson. We want to make sure information is all being obtained in a legal way and shared directly with law enforcement agencies. Johnson said Ledger wants to make sure all information gathering is done legally and above board with the goal of prosecuting the individuals responsible. The blog post qualified the Bitcoin bounty, stating that the BTC will be disbursed at the discretion of Ledger and will take a variety of factors into consideration. In echoing Johnson's comments, these include whether the information has been obtained legally, whether it's new, how substantial it is, and how far it would go toward furthering the investigation and successful prosecution. The company also hopes it can collaborate with other companies and individuals in the crypto industry to fund this bounty. It envisions a general-purpose bounty fund, a sort of foundation to fight scamming and phishing attacks across the industry. We are actively trying to do things to protect and improve that ecosystem, said Johnson. Protecting your Bitcoin even when recovery phrase is shared. The Ledger engineering team is also developing a product that will protect the funds of a user even if they had shared their recovery seed with an attacker. Yirma Dataichi, global head of client success at Ledger, said in an email the majority of the phishing attacks rely on making the Ledger Nano owners reveal their 24-word phrase. Scammers seize on that opportune moment of panic where the owners believe their funds to be at risk. Remembering crucial safety measures at that moment is not always possible, especially when the scammers pose as Ledger support staff. We are acknowledging this problem and we will soon release a technical solution that will remove the 24 words as the single pillar of the security of our hardware wallets and will open the door to funds insurance as well, said Dataichi in an email to CoinDesk. Moving ahead. How and when these changes are clarified and implemented will go a long way toward regaining users' trust. But they represent a step forward for Ledger security in the aftermath of an extensive data breach, and just may work for the crypto community more generally. With Bitcoin and other altcoins booming, the security around crypto tools and products is an iterative process. There are always these new avenues that people attempt to exploit, said Johnson. So we have to do that continual reassessment and ask what else we can do to make this even more secure than what it is today. Ledger wallets haven't been compromised, so they're going after the human elements time and time and time again. So what else can we do? What else can we do to help protect the end customer? Because these are real people. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.